Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In the global conversation about the war in Yemen, there's one set of voices that's been notably absent, those of Yemenis themselves.
Our lives have been destroyed, but we are still alive. We live without hope. And we watch as human values loses their meanings. Democracy, human rights, equality, justice. These words and others have become, in our view, an absurd propaganda, as ridiculous as describing Mohammed bin Salman as a reformer.
That's Hussam al-Sanabani, and he's one of over 900 people who responded to a call on Twitter to describe what life is like in the war-torn country. Shireen Al-Adimi was behind that initial call. She left Yemen shortly after the 1994 civil war, and today she's an assistant professor at Michigan State University. Al-Adimi translated 100 of these messages into English for an article in These Times called 100 Yemenis Speak Out Against the U.S.-Saudi War. Professor Al-Adimi, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us how this project got started.
So I was on a train to Chicago. I was invited to give a talk on Yemen, on the origins of the conflict, as well as what the U.S. Americans can do to prevent further escalation of this war at Loyola University, as well as at a rally in Chicago. And so on my way to the rally, I thought, you know, what more can I say that hasn't already been said? And I thought that Yemeni voices tend to be absent from these conversations, Yemenis in Yemen who are affected by this conflict daily. And so I tweeted out in Arabic. I usually tweet in English, but I tweeted out in Arabic and I asked Yemenis in Yemen to describe in a sentence or in a word what their situation is like and to speak to an American audience. And by the time I arrived to Chicago, there were hundreds of responses. In 24 hours, there were over 700 responses. And so I translated some of those tweets in my presentation and in the rally. But then I thought, this is so much more than I expected. And these, you know, perspectives are so important to share with a broader audience. And so I've been a contributor to In These Times, and I spoke to my editor and we decided to put a piece together. So this is where the 100 tweets, translated tweets, came about.
What were the themes that emerged in these tweets?
So some people spoke about personal loss. Two people who responded said that they had lost family members. One person had lost his wife and children in a Saudi-U.S. airstrike. Another person whom I know to have lost his daughter in 2015, also in a U.S.-Saudi airstrike, responded and just kind of spoke about the desperation of the situation in Yemen. But a lot of people were speaking about the humanitarian crisis. They, you know, mentioned the blockade. Many people used the word genocide because this is what they feel is being done to the people of Yemen. And not just, you know, the bombing and the bombing of the infrastructure and the collapse of the economy and the education and the health sectors, but also the blockade that's preventing aid and food and medicine to come in and, of course, people to leave. So a lot of people spoke about having, you know, very little hope for the future, even though all they wanted is to really just live in peace. And then a good majority of them were almost offended at the question. They said, we're not going to beg anyone to save us. This is not a call, a cry for help. We will support ourselves and we'll continue to defend ourselves. So there was this element of resilience and resistance to occupation that came up in those messages.
What are Yemenis asking for? What is it that they want, particularly off of that last statement you made about resilience, about sustainability, about being able to take care of themselves, essentially? I imagine that some of that reaction is also because this is a community that feels largely ignored.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about several countries, mostly wealthy countries, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar until last year, you know, Kuwait, Bahrain, Morocco, Egypt, all of these countries, you know, are working together to bombard a small country, the poorest country in the Middle East, that doesn't even have an air force and can't defend itself in any, you know, conceivable way. And of course, this coalition of countries is supported by the United States and the United Kingdom and France and other countries sell weapons to it. And so I think a lot of people just, you know, feel like they're bombarded. A lot of people are profiting from this war, but Yemenis are left to kind of, you know, fend for themselves. Yemen, of course, is of strategic interest to these countries that are bombing Yemen. It controls Bab el-Mandeb Strait, where about 4.8 million of barrels of oil travel daily. But Yemenis themselves are of no concern to these warring parties. We've seen hundreds of thousands of children already die of malnutrition and diseases. Diseases, preventable diseases like cholera and diphtheria are killing children. Or, you know, the bombing campaigns, the violence that has left at least 60,000 people dead so far. And so they feel abandoned, and what more is there to do almost 4 years later other than to just continue to resist?
Do you think there's a sense of frustration? And I'm just really interested in your in the folks who were frustrated with the question. Is there a sense of frustration that everything that needs to be said has been said, and it's really the fault of the rest of the world for not paying attention?
Absolutely. People said that this is happening in clear view of the international community, and nobody has been doing anything to really prevent it. In fact, they've just kind of joined in and helped. And so many people said, you know, what more is there to see? You see our pictures, you know, and they really do post a lot of graphic photos in those messages, and they have been doing on Twitter, because they feel like, you know, many people have turned into journalists themselves to document the misery and the destruction that's been happening around them. So if it's a matter of evidence, the evidence has been collected. If it's a matter of, you know, the scale of the humanitarian crisis, well, there's no humanitarian crisis worse than, bigger than Yemen right now. It's the UN says it's the worst one on earth. And so people feel like if it's a matter of information, the information is out there, but nobody has been doing anything to stop it. They've just kind of either joined in or remained willfully ignorant about it.
And has there been any response from politicians to this project or your piece?
I've not heard from politicians, and I know there are a lot of private messages that I didn't get to reading just yet. There were dozens of them, but I just kind of wanted to hear from the average, you know, Yemeni civilian who's going through this war.
Shireen Aladimi is an assistant professor at Michigan State University. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.